Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Say he's taking care of me with the music.
He's really serving it up tonight, isn't he?
Yes.
Well done, Jose. You've got Carla smiling here in the studio.
That is my only goal for the rest of the show.
Check that box.
Well, I'll tell you what, one fun story that came out. Jim Harbaugh, of course, head coach of Michigan football.
He needs a headline. He hasn't had one in a while.
Well, he needed a headline, and he's always recruiting, and he has suggested that Michigan build a big statue of the GOAT, Tom Brady. Pretty good idea for recruiting, isn't it?
Because he had an illustrious career at Michigan?
Well, that's the irony, right? I mean, Tom Brady always struggled a bit at Michigan. He sat on the bench for 2 years behind Brian Greasy. And then he was always seemingly in a battle for a starting job with Drew Henson.
Right.
The baseball player, sometimes football player. They were in a platoon for part of the time. And look, if Brees, or not Drew Brees, if Tom Brady had lit it up at Michigan, he wouldn't have been a sixth-round draft pick. I mean, one of the challenges the Patriots had is, gee, if Tom Brady is struggling to start at Michigan relative to Drew Henson, is he really an NFL quarterback?
I think that question is answered.
The question has been resoundingly answered.
And honestly, for a recruiting tool, I mean, these kids that are coming through right now, they're too young to even know what his career was like at Michigan. They just know him. No, Tom Brady as the GOAT, as a 6 Super Bowl winner, as a just a freaking best passer ever, pocket passer in the NFL.
Yes.
Period.
So can't you just imagine a big statue of the GOAT, Tom Brady, and he looks so good. Giselle won't be next to him, but he'll be there on
which,
his own.
Which could also be a very good recruiting
tool.
Well,
that would be another better recruiting tool, right, perhaps. But imagine there, Tom Brady, the statue, and any recruiter comes through, they'll stop, they'll take their picture, they'll do a selfie with Tom Brady, the GOAT.
Oh, it's perfect.
It's a great message. Sort of implied there is, if you come to Michigan, you can be a GOAT as well.
You too. Yes, let's hope that Jim Harbaugh doesn't end up being a GOAT if he can't beat Ohio State this year.
Well, we've got our own GOAT coming up. It's Spencer Tillman, who's going to join us in the next segment, and we'll ask him about the fate of the Oklahoma football program with Jalen Hurts when we return. Spencer Tillman.
Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries. Whatever the occasion is, Gifting Nap has you covered. Visit giftingnap.com for great gifts. That's giftingnap.com, your map to great gifting. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Spencer Tillman. He's a national college football champion, a Super Bowl champion. Spencer, welcome into the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, I'd love to begin with your alma mater, Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley has done such an extraordinary job and been particularly developing these quarterbacks over the past couple of years. What do you think he can do for Jalen Hurts?
Well, he's a bit of a savant. You know, the guy's amazing. I had a chance. I did a couple of Oklahoma games last year, Tim Brando and I, and he, we had some time to spend with Lincoln. And when talking to him, you know, usually coordinators, David, fall into two categories. They're either field people or they're like, formula, you know. The best ones, in my opinion, are the field guys. And that's exactly what Lincoln is. I mean, he obviously goes in knowing what he pretty much wants to accomplish, but in real time, you got to be able to adjust. And it takes a really creative person to be able to do that and be effective. I think he is absolutely amazing to watch prepare. He has this like a little comm system set up with multiple monitors around him, and he shows you different angles and the nuances that he's looking at. It kind of reminds me how Bill Walsh used to prepare. Bill had a philosophy about complexity and preparation, simplicity and execution. And it was really beautiful to watch him, through process of elimination, move things away that didn't work. He would leave a lot of quality creativity on the ground for the better choice in real time during the game, and he would actually select from two or three things, and he would use it in real time. Because the constraint you're ultimately dealing with is, yeah, you can, as a coach, sit there in the wee hours of the morning and create it, but you only got 20 hours a week to work with these kids to try to digest what you've taken a long time to create. So that's always a challenge. But I think it's brilliant. What he's done, and he's going to be a hot commodity for a long time to come. And Joe Castiglione, the offense, the athletic director at Oklahoma, has got his hands full in keeping him around.
We're talking to Spencer Tillman, so I want to ask you now, Jalen Hurts joins that team. How is that a fit, and what will Lincoln Riley do differently with Jalen that he might have done with Murray or Mayfield?
Well, Jalen definitely has improved as a passer. I think we saw that in the last performance he had when he was in the Crimson Tide uniform. He has improved, even in a backup capacity. When he got in, he was very much, much more accurate than he had been in the previous year and earlier time. And the good thing about it, the way they were able to, because they were so dominant last year, he got a lot of playing time in the latter quarters of most of the games they played in. And Tua probably didn't play very much, maybe four or five games we didn't even play in the fourth quarter. So Jalen got some time, and he got a chance to work on that part of his game. So he's improved. I think Lincoln is going to be able to establish him as a runner, probably take another page out of what he did with Kyler Murray, you know, who, by the way, is as accurate almost as Baker Mayfield was. Now, he's not quite as accurate as Baker, but he's close enough where you can create run-pass conflicts with a guy like that. When you have a guy that you know is a runner first, and you know that the coordinator would rather not have him passing the ball, you can make a coordinator and a quarterback play left-handed. So, but you can't do that, I don't think, with Jalen. I think Jalen has gotten to the point now where he's dangerous enough as a passer where you really can't game plan him and eliminate one aspect of his game. So I think Lincoln, who has a chance to do something that's unprecedented, which he actually did it last year, and having, you know, a quarterback win the Heisman Trophy in the same position, obviously in successive years, he has a chance. And I've already, and I know you're an enterprising guy, David, so I've already trademarked Triesman as in T-R-I-E-S-M-A-N. So I've got that. So he has a chance to get three, you know, at the same position. It's unprecedented. The good thing about it is you can only be first once, and he's already done that, going back-to-back with, of course, Kyler Murray and then Baker Mayfield. So I think he's going to be fine with Jalen. Jalen's a great talent, but he's another asset that's going to put him in a position to be in the college playoffs again.
Spencer, all the praise that you're giving Lincoln Riley, I think, is so well-deserved, because you can see he's not only building these quarterbacks. You know, Kyler Murray at A&M was not the same Kyler Murray we saw at OU. And I think that, you know, character-wise, he's shaping these young men too, which is why Castiglione, better hope he can keep him in Oklahoma. It's a great place for him to be.
But, yeah, great point. I think what Joe Castiglione does well is he's smart. You know, he's one of the brightest athletic directors that are out there. You know, other guys that kind of come to mind, Rob Mullins at Oregon, he's another sharp one. There's a lot of them out there. But the beautiful thing that he did is he took the same page, and if you look, there's a common thread. When he hired Bob Stoops back in 99 or whenever it was, 98, 99, when he hired Bob Stoops was a white-hot defensive coordinator, never been a head coach before. Same thing with Lincoln Riley. Even though he's on the opposite side of the ball as an offensive mind, he was white-hot. Everybody knew he was a unique talent and a gifted individual. But when you hire someone that's never been a head coach, there is an allegiance that they tend to have with you. You know, Oklahoma is a top-tier program. So if you get a chance to go, let's think about it. Bob Stoops never left Oklahoma. He's as great a success he's had, he's never been a head coach any place other than the University of Oklahoma. I'm not suggesting that that Lincoln Riley is going to duplicate that. What I am suggesting to you is that there's going to be more of a buildup. He's been approached by so many different NFL franchises at this early stage, two seasons in, but I don't think he would leave because of the uniqueness of the position at Oklahoma. Not suggesting that he won't entertain things, because he's had like 16 different NFL teams last year come visit him just to sit down and talk about what's going on. And he's part of that whole extended tree of Mike Leach. And one of the reasons why people started looking closely you know, at other offensive coordinators out there who may not have had nearly as much success as Lincoln did in getting head coaching jobs. You know, Cliff Kingsbury would be chief among them. So without a winning record, he goes and parlays that into not just an offensive coordinator position at USC, but then before he's there a good month, he's the head coach at Arizona now. So, you know, and they're doing it based on what people like him and who have been in that position have been able to accomplish. What Mike Leach did with Garner Minshew at Washington State, who was actually headed to be a coach, was absolutely astounding. He gave him an invitation to come and be the top quarterback numbers-wise in the country, and he did exactly that. So it's the system. It's the minds associated with the system, and I think it's a wonderful thing to watch. I think he's going to be committed to Oklahoma a little bit longer than what most people think, simply because of the philosophy that Joe Castiglione has. Get them while they're young, when they don't have an established career, and they have a sense of loyalty to you in that way.
We're talking with Spencer Tillman, sports broadcaster, All-American running back at OU, Super Bowl champ, you name it, he has done it. Okay, talking about the system, Spencer, so we're talking about Lincoln Riley at OU. You mentioned what Mike Leach has done at Washington State. So we've just seen the Patriots win ring number 6. What is it that is the strategy behind that organization? And is it sports-specific, like just with football, or is it dynasty-specific? And you've played for some real dynasties with the 49ers, with Oklahoma. What do you see as the strategy behind this continued success?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think there's a lot that's there. I would, if delineated down for this conversation, and what I can juxtapose what we saw in San Francisco and what we had, and as a captain serving in a leadership capacity with Joe and Ronnie Lott and Joe Montana, I got a chance to sit in the situations and see exactly how the anatomy of the organization worked at a higher level. We would actually send, for example, these advanced SWAT teams out during the playoffs or particularly in the Super Bowl. We would send an advanced team out way ahead of time. Sometimes if we had already qualified for the playoffs or the championship, that SWAT team was already going out to the venue. And what they went out for was to do some recon. Everything from the routes that we would take from the practice facility to the stadium, all of that was well in advance orchestrated. And what they were trying to do was mitigate anything that would constitute a distraction. They wanted efficiency and how everything was done. It was that meticulous. We were one of the first teams to ever have a team psychologist, Dr. Harry Edwards, and he was the one that was instrumental in creating our locker room. You know, I went to San Francisco as a free agent, and little did I know, I only learned about it after the fact. Dr. Edwards told me that they needed somebody who was halfway intelligent, but also had a little bit of nasty in him. And she said you were the closest we could find.
That's a good tag to have on you there. Nasty, I'll take it.
Well, it was great, you know, because when you play with Jerry Glanville, he was crazy, you know, the House of Pain and all that stuff. And we did some really bizarre things. I mean, we sacrificed our bodies because we were part intimidating people, but you had to have some brains about yourself as well. And so that kind of helped me get to San Francisco and garner a captain's position. And I would just say that really, back to your point about what it is to separate them, it's really the attention to detail. It's about accuracy. It's about efficiency. Joe Montana was in town helping us with the Lombardi Awards a couple of weeks ago, was recanting a story of how Bill Walsh would actually rep him over and over and over. What looked like a great pass or a good pass to some people was not good enough for Bill Walsh. If you're running a slant route and that ball needs to be 8 inches out in front of your number so that you don't have to slow down so you can continue at the same pace and speed, that is a good pass in Bill Walsh. It's not on your hip, not where you have to slow down and then get caught by somebody who's not as fast as you are. It was all about efficiency and execution, and that was part of what made them great. And I think when you have that in your DNA, it's part of your anatomy. Everyone is held to that level of accountability, and it shows up in things like red zone efficiency. We had an 86% red zone efficiency rating inside in the 20-yard line. That is to say, 86% of the time when we were there, we scored touchdowns, not field goals, touchdowns. That still tops in the league to this day. And so, again, that type of efficiency speaks to the type of focus and detail that we had to pay attention to in San Francisco.
An amazing run it was. So, Spencer Tillman, thank you so much for joining us on SB Nation Radio. And it is worth highlighting, he was captain of that, one of the captains of that 49er team, and went on to win. You must be one of the few people of both a college football championship ring and a Super Bowl ring.
I think there are about 20 people out there that have it, but not very many anymore. So it's a distinction, and I'm proud of it.
A select group. Thanks so much, Spencer.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Take care.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, I want you to make your tax refund go farther at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle now and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Before we go to NBA, I just want to say one thing. Spencer Tillman said he's got rights on it. I'm going to give him all kinds of credit for it.
I love it.
But let's call it a Trisman. Look, if Lincoln Riley can get three straight Heisman quarterbacks, and he really does have a shot.
He's got a shot. Absolutely.
Mayfield and Murray, they're in the books. And with Jalen Hurts, who's a heck of a football player, coming and fitting into that system, I mean, it's very, very possible the Trisman could happen at Oklahoma.
Jalen Hurts has already got two national championships under his belt.
I mean, he's a stud. He's a great player.
Trifecta would be nice.
You almost couldn't have expected a better pickup for Oklahoma. Interestingly, they do have a five-star quarterback coming, Spencer Rattler, who will presumably be the quarterback after Jalen Hurts. And maybe, well, prior to Jalen Hurts coming, Spencer Rattler was supposed to be the next Trevor Lawrence, a guy who could come in as a freshman and star right away.
They've got a factory going on.
But now they've really got a factory when you go to Mayfield, to Murray, to Hurts, and then this five-star guy, Spencer Rattler. I mean, it's a heck of a quarterback show in Oklahoma.
Success breeds success, and Lincoln Riley's the man for these guys. Wow.
All right, I want to shift gears. We got to talk some NBA. It was so fun to talk to Jerome Williams, the Junkyard Dog.
Oh, and his bark. It was fantastic.
Can you do the bark?
No, I'm not even going to try.
I bet, Jose, can you do the Jerome Williams bark?
I don't think so.
The woo, woo, something like
woo,
that.
Woo.
Yeah, the Junkyard
Dog.
Is
that okay?
Yes.
Jose's got like a, he's got a pillow voice, not a barking voice.
A what?
Pillow voice.
Yeah, for pillow talk.
Is that a compliment? Oh, okay, it's a compliment. Okay.
If you know what I'm saying.
It's a compliment.
Okay.
Glianne would know what I'm saying.
Glianne.
Do you know what I mean?
Here we go.
Oh, boy. Here comes the barking now. Moving right along.
Bark. All of a sudden, she can.
I'll be darned.
Oh, all right, well, I'm going back to the NBA because
I know Jose and I are going down a bad rabbit trail.
I find this Lakers situation fascinating because what I think went down is that the Lakers basically took all their good players other than LeBron and said, we're going to give them to you. New Orleans.
And let's throw in some draft picks, too.
And we'll throw in draft picks.
Enough.
All in return for Anthony Davis, and yet it was not enough. And the interesting thing that I just got to find, it would not happen in any other kind of sport or team, but basically about 60% of the starters, you got Kuzma, Ball, Ingram, those are guys who were clearly in the trade block, clearly on the way out, and now they all have to come back and say, no, we're all going to play as a team. We're one. We're united. That feels awkward to me.
Got to feel a little awkward. It's also, you know, in defense of, I'm not defending Magic Johnson, but the NBA is a big old business.
Yes. Look, if I were Magic, I would have entertained it. Here's where I actually find it harder. I don't think a Ball or an Ingram or a Kuzma look at Magic and blame him. I mean, he's the GM.
Right.
That's what he does, right? But you have to believe, and they all must believe deep in their hearts, that Magic sat down with LeBron and said, LeBron, we could give up these three guys and get Anthony Davis in return. LeBron, what do you think? And LeBron must have said, go for it. And these players must know that. And that makes it hard to put the pieces of the puzzle back together again.
And guess who's going to be demanding the most out of these young guys again in practice? It's going to be LeBron.
Sure.
So it's tough.
He's the leader, but he's also the one who was on the cusp of disbanding the team.
Sure.
That's a struggle. Another struggle. Let's go to the Pelicans.
Oh.
They now have Anthony Davis. They also have about 25 games left in the season. They really have no reason, right, logic to play Anthony Davis anymore. Except the NBA is saying you got to play him, otherwise we're going to fine you.
Right. It looks like they're tanking. Yeah, and it's a big fine. It's $100,000 a game or something crazy for sitting out like that.
So their general manager, Dempsey, said, yes, he will play. They have to do it. But the Pelicans, I mean, imagine if, God forbid, Anthony Davis were to get a torn ACL right now. Then he would not play again basically for a year. Pelicans would have to play him, and they would have lost the chance to trade him for full value.
The Pelicans, I think they're if I'm in their shoes,
yep.
I'm not happy. I'm plugging along with Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis. I think I'm doing just fine. And all of a sudden, my star announces a trade, and now I'm forced to be on a trade block.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on one. And I think that's why they didn't accept the Lakers deal. It was like, you know, the Pelicans didn't have to. They didn't need to do that trade.
Nope.
So they didn't. They're like, you know what, Anthony Davis? This is going to be on my time. You went ahead and did that on your time. You announced to everybody what's going on. But really, it behooves the Pelicans to let the season play out. I mean, hoping there's not going to be an injury, and see what they want to package and put together for a deal, and what they want to accept and what they don't. Their hand was forced.
Yep. No. It's interesting because one argument, and I think Jerome Williams made it, was that with a year and a half or a year and a quarter left on the contract, you can get more value than when if it's just 1 year, which is what it will be in July. But there'll also be, on the other side, there'll be more teams in the mix for a trade with Anthony Davis, whereas this time it really seemed like it was just the Lakers. You'll have teams like
Boston.
Certainly the Celtics, perhaps also the Knicks. There'll be other teams in that market to pick him up. So, and there'll be more visibility. What will the Knicks lottery pick look like? Well, they'll know after the lottery drawing. If it's Zion Williams, well, then the Knicks may not want to trade that number one pick. But if it's the fourth or fifth pick in the lottery, sure, they might throw that in and a chance to get Anthony Davis.
I don't know. You could take the entire Duke starting lineup. I'd take any one of them.
It's an impressive
honestly,
group. Yeah.
It's crazy, right. Starting with Mount Zion for sure.
Mount Zion.
The Knicks are in their last 10 games, 0-10.
Well, Knicks.
They do own the league's worst record.
Knicks are tanking. I mean, they have to tank. They've got the worst record, and they may get the number one pick overall.
And do you know what? All of that, they are the most valuable franchise in the NBA at $4 billion.
Yeah, that's strange math, isn't it? As the team gets worse, their value has gone up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the most valuable franchise in the NBA, the New York Knicks, came out by Forbes magazine this year. $4 billion for the Knicks. It's time. The Knicks need to get good. It's been way too long.
I mean, let's see how long. So they're in the middle right now of their sixth consecutive losing season. They own the league's worst overall record currently as of now. They're 10-45. That's not a typo. That's a fact. The last time they made the playoffs, 2013. The last time they were in the conference finals, 2000. Hello. The last time they were in the NBA finals, that was the conference finals. Last time they were in the NBA finals, 1999. And their last year to win a title, we're taking it back to the 70s, 1973.
With the great Willis Reed.
Yes.
We are going way, way back.
And this franchise is still like just rolling in money. So do they really care if they're going to be good?
Well, I think they're angling. I think they're going to spend some money. They've got the chance for two max contracts mm-hmm. this offseason. If they could combine the two max contracts, if they could get a Kevin Durant, or they could get, well, imagine a Kevin Durant and a Kyrie Irving, and you mix that in with Mount Zion from Duke, that would suddenly change the landscape for New York.
You would think.
But a lot of things have to happen. Interestingly, I was in New York last week. The New York Post was basically saying, Knicks fans, don't get delusional. The view that two of these max guys, max free agents, are going to sign for the max money with the Knicks, that's a huge leap of faith. What they really need is two guys to join together and do it in unison, so then it's believable that the Knicks are really on a different track.
Remains to be seen. I'll tell you, though, the NBA's been busy, and it's been stealing that spotlight from the NFL.
Well, it has been busy. Crazy. And over in the Eastern Conference, you've got teams really positioning themselves for a great round. The 76ers.
Trust the process.
The Bucks, the Raptors, they're all really positioning for a great. I think they all think that the Eastern Conference is winnable for each of them.
I think they do, and they're right, because LeBron is no longer in it.
Yeah.
That's the X factor.
And the Celtics, who were coming in seemingly the obvious choice to be the best. They were the ones that challenged the Cavaliers last year. I mean, they have just faltered all along. So here come the 76ers. They pick up Tobias Harris. He's a great pickup, making a great starting five for the 76ers.
Well, and they also get rid of Markelle Fultz.
Well,
which, you know, I really love that guy, and I loved watching him in college. He's really had a rough go of it with injuries and his shots looking funky. And, you know, I don't know what. I think he has the potential that he can do okay, but it wasn't going to happen with the 76ers. They needed to unload him.
A devastating trade. They traded up to get Fultz, number one overall, and then Celtics got Tatum. Certainly that's gone now for the 76ers, but a fascinating time in the NBA. When we return, we'll have our award-winning He Said, She Said segment on the Boston League Loss.
Birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, whatever the occasion is, Gifting Nap has you covered. Visit GiftingNap.com for great gifts. That's GiftingNap.com, your map to great gifting. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this is the moment we've been waiting for. It's our famous He Said, She Said segment, where we look at what sports luminaries have said during the course of the week, and we offer our own point of view and commentary. And let's start with the big news of the day. Kareem Hunt going to the Browns, and general manager John Dorsey spoke today with the media about the signing of Kareem Hunt.
I think we're all appalled by it. It is an egregious act. We all understand that. But after doing our research, extensive research, analyzing the situation, we came to the conclusion that, you know what, I'm willing to help a man on a second chance moving forward to be a better person. And that's all you can ask for in society, and that's all I'm trying to do.
What do you think?
He's saying the right things.
Yes.
And what I loved most of all was admitting right at the get-go, it was horrible. It was an egregious act, and he admitted. I mean, you know, that's acknowledgement.
There's no
is part
place
of
for
it.
Physical violence against women.
No, there just isn't. And, you know, hey, if John Dorsey really does mean what he says and he can turn around Kareem Hunt, it's going to be better for everybody.
Sure.
But it's a chance. He's willing to take it. And he's got a good relationship with him already. So
yep, that may help the cause. All right, number two. The Alliance of American Football kicked off this weekend, and it featured many exciting moments. Perhaps the biggest was under Coach Steve Spurrier, who coaches the Orlando Apollos. And they ran the Philly special. Let's hear the Philly special. Remember the big play that the Eagles ran against the Patriots in the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Where Nick Foles was receiver.
Yes.
And it's a handoff to Akeem Hunt, a reverse Marshall throwing it back, and it's caught for the touchdown. The Orlando special,
the Philly special. But it's the winter. What do Philadelphia people do in the winter? They go to Florida, right?
Well, I love that. What do Philly people do in the winter? Go to Florida.
They go to Orlando. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a great play. And who better to call it than Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach?
See, this is why I'm saying this is a good start for the American Alliance of Football.
Well, and when you think, I mean, that list of coaches they've got, and you went through it earlier, but Mike Martz is another intriguing name because he was considered an offensive genius back with the Greatest Show on Turf. He was the offensive genius of the Rams before Sean McVay was the offensive genius of the Rams. I mean, Mike Martz, he was a legend.
He was the Greatest Show on Turf. That's right.
He was the guy. He was the mastermind behind it all.
Sure.
All right. Okay, let's go to number three. This is Magic Johnson when talking about whether he can put his pieces back together again, as Magic Johnson offered a lot of his players to the Pelicans in return for Anthony Davis. Let's see what Magic Johnson had to say. He actually was talking about the Pelicans and whether they negotiated in good faith with the Lakers.
No. We knew that basically at the end of the day, what happened, happened. And we knew that when we first started.
So it's interesting for Magic to say that the Pelicans did not conduct negotiation in good faith. I don't really know what he means. I know he's disappointed that he couldn't close the deal, that the Pelicans ultimately walked away. But there was a robust dialogue, a lot of players and a lot of exchanging of ideas. What do you think he feels was not done in good faith?
I think he's thinking, shoot, they lifted the kimono, showed everyone that we were basically giving away our starting lineup.
Yep.
And then they didn't take it.
Right.
Which is, they're in a tough spot.
They're in 60% of their starting roster was offered up in trade. And now they have to come back and be
plus
a team.
Draft picks. And it still wasn't enough.
Isn't the initial report coming from Anthony Davis what is actually, like, wasn't in good faith? Like, I feel like everyone in this situation did not practice things in good faith.
Correct.
So who's Magic Johnson to point a finger?
Magic Johnson wants to blame somebody because it looks ridiculous on the Lakers' part that they couldn't pull it off with all the talking. And I think it's a blame game at this point because you're right. No one has acted in good faith about it.
Well, let's say this.
If you're really getting technical.
The Pelicans got a request from a member of the team and tried to honor it, tried to get the most value they could, and determined that holding on to Anthony Davis for a little while longer represented a chance to get more value a little bit later. I respect that for the Pelicans. I think they had a good faith conversation. They obviously exchanged a lot of ideas. I don't really see what Magic Johnson's saying.
Agreed.
All right, let's go to number four. This is still in the NBA. This is Celtics forward Marcus Morris, who was pretty forthcoming about how the Celtics had performed this season and the struggle to become a team.
Watch all these other teams on the guys up on the bench, they're jumping on the court, they're doing all, you know, all the stuff that this look like they enjoy, and, you know, their teammates' success, they're enjoying everything, they're playing together, and they're playing to win. And when I look at us, I just see a bunch of individuals.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, this has been a tough season for the Celtics. I mean, wasn't that long ago. A year ago, of course, Gordon Hayward got injured early, Kyrie Irving got injured late, and when both those guys were out, the expectations were really, really low for the Celtics, and yet they went very far. They went all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. This year, the expectations were really, really high, and they've struggled to really come together as a team and perform well. And you've still got the guy who last year, Brad Stevens, was considered an emerging
coach
genius,
of the year candidate.
One of the best coaches around, and this year he can't put the pieces together. Something
is amiss.
He looks exasperated. Well, he has to be exasperated.
At the end of games, yeah.
When your team comes up with that kind of expectations and they perform as they have, it's a really, really struggle. It's a big struggle this year.
And it's a small roster. Basketball teams are a small roster. So when you're saying that, when Marcus is saying our team plays as individuals, that speaks to everybody.
Yep.
That's not great. You know, I'm thinking back on the Magic Johnson thing. I think part of the reason he's speaking out and saying they didn't operate in good faith, I think he's trying to gain some footing to let the public know I'm in charge.
Hmm.
It's not LeBron, because it definitely has appeared like LeBron in the past week.
It looks like it's Rich Paul and LeBron orchestrating everything.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't you think maybe that was Magic's kind of taking back the, hey, I'm the boss. I run the show here.
No, he's the boss.
Yeah, he is my boss. And your boss.
The Lakers need a little gloss is what they need.
They just might.
All right, let's go to number five. This is the Rockets head coach, Mike D'Antoni. After the Rockets had an embarrassing loss, a very, very embarrassing loss to the Thunder, let's hear from Coach D'Antoni.
Just a lot of things. They're a good team. They played well, but we had our chances. We just didn't finish it off. We came out flat second half for whatever reason. Maybe being up 22 did it. I don't know. But, you know, I'm kind of looking at the positive side. I think we got Sonny. We get Clint back, and the defense was really good in the first half. We just got to continue that, and we'll build on this. Yeah, I know it's a tough one tonight, but we'll bounce back on Monday and then see what we can do.
Thank you. That's refreshing. It's refreshing to say, hey, we came out flat. We had chances to win. It wasn't, oh, James missed that three that could have tied the game. They had a 26-point lead in the first half.
Yep.
So I would say they came out a little bit flat in the second half. But he's also right. This is a long season. Don't hang everything on one game. OKC is an unbelievable team. Paul George had an incredible night. They shouldn't have lost it on their own court. But, you know, you go back to what Jerome Williams talked about in our earlier segment. You know, Chris Paul's hamstring situation. He said that, you know, when he played with these greats, Del Curry and Joe Dumars, that had hamstring injuries late in their career, it never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris Paul's 33, about to turn 34, just signed a $160 million 4-year deal with the Rockets. And we got a hamstring to worry about. that's going to be a factor too going forward.
Yep.
I mean, he's feisty. We need him. I love Chris Paul, but that's a tough injury. I hated hearing that reminder from Jerome, but the Junkyard Dog knows what he's talking about.
The Junkyard Dog. Do not argue against the Junkyard Dog.
Don't mess with him.
All right, let's go to number six. This is the Warriors head coach, your good friend, Steve Kerr, he was asked what he would think about Bryce Harper joining the Giants, joining him in the Bay Area.
He was a little surprised, too.
What would it mean for the Bay Area to have a slugger like that?
Are you starting rumors here?
Or? I am not.
No. I haven't
baseball
seen that.
Baseball free agency. What do you think?
That would be fun. I'd love it if Bryce Harper came here. So does my opinion matter? Bryce, come to the Giants. Let's go.
Well, sure his opinion matters. He's a big voice in that market.
But what makes me a bit uncomfortable, because, you know, I'm an Oakland A's, swinging A's,
yes,
girl.
Yes.
The Warriors play right next to Oakland. Don't encourage those boys across the bay, but
it would be the Giants.
Steve Kerr's defense, they're moving to San Francisco to the Chase Center next season.
He's just looking out for his best interest.
He is.
He's trying to take care of himself.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, fair.
Well, it's sort of funny because it reminds me when the Celtics were recruiting Kevin Durant, they had a special meeting and they brought Tom Brady to the meeting, thinking that just superstardom, to have someone like Tom Brady come and sit down with Kevin Durant and say, Boston's a great place to play sports. Well, Steve Kerr can go and he can go to bat for that Bay Area. He can tell Bryce Harper to come and play for the Giants.
Sure. We'll see.
We shall see. All right. This one, a little odd. This is Big Red. Love Bill Walton. Well, he had a birthday cupcake and got a little exuberant with it and put a lit, well, the cupcake had a lit candle. And in the middle of a broadcast, Arizona State versus Washington, Bill Walton swallowed the lit candle whole. Here he comes.
Happy birthday. What's your name
now,
in there?
Take a bite out of it while it's lit.
While it's lit?
Say, oh, I'm kidding. I can't.
How about the face plant here? What's the face plant here?
Yeah. I can't. People coming up and people.
You gotta love Big Red.
I just love him, and he caught his partner completely off guard.
Yes, he did.
He threw that out there, not thinking for one minute he was going to down that lit cupcake.
Right. But you think the flame went out before it got to the top part of his mouth?
No.
I mean, it was a very quick bite.
He didn't even flinch.
If you look at
Bill Walton, I mean, unfortunately we can't see it. It's radio, but I mean, he just looked calm as a cucumber.
Nothing causes Bill pain.
Too calm.
No problem for Bill.
He was the Grateful Dead eating that cupcake right there. Seriously.
All right, when we come back, we have a special little close here. We get to take a look at what we've learned from the gloss during the last couple of hours. When we return, it will be Learnings from the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this is my favorite segment each week with you. I sit next to the gloss with Jose behind the glass. And we get to revisit what we learned from you, all the wisdom that's come out over the last couple of hours.
And we've made it. We've been able to talk for 2 hours.
Yes, we have. Let me begin with the notion of a tribesman. And the language came from the great Spencer Tillman. And he's talking about the fact that, well, Lincoln Riley's had back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners in Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. And now with the coming of Jalen Hurts, can they really get a tribesman?
They absolutely can get one.
Yeah. Hurts is a special talent, and they've obviously got a special coach with a great offensive mind.
And I think they've got it going at Oklahoma right now. It's got some wonderful inertia, and Lincoln Riley just keeps getting better in his position. So I think the Tribesman could be a real deal.
All right, you heard it here first.
Thank you, Spencer. That was a great trademark.
We're gonna give trademark rights, copyrights,
yes, we
to
are.
Spencer Tillman. All right, next one. In the realm of Major League Baseball, there are many, many good players who remain unsigned.
Big name free agents.
With the cusp of spring training right before us. The owners might say, well, it's the players won't sign. The players would say, we're not getting the money we want. You're going to side right now with the owners or the team saying, hey, the money's out there. Players, sign up.
And it's not small money.
You know,
offering Bryce Harper $300 million over 10 years to stay with the team that he was with.
Right.
That's big time money.
Right.
So, you know, I think Scott Boras is looking at in 2000, he was able to get a $225 million deal for A-Rod over 10 years with the Texas Rangers. But at that point, sabermetrics and all the analytics wasn't what we have today. Now, and how did that work out for the Rangers? So there we go.
All right, my next one. Your favorite redhead who is 7 feet tall is one man. Name him and why.
Candle-eating Bill Walton.
Big Bill. Love him. Love everything about him.
I got to meet him in person, and he is, I think I came up to his belly button.
True confessions?
True confessions. He is a big guy.
Is there anything more to share?
Nothing more.
Really?
We're keeping it clean.
Okay, fair.
He's a great guy, though. Super friendly, super outgoing, and yeah, it was a treat to meet him. And he did have smoke coming out of his ears. So maybe he was eating a candle then, too.
He might have. He certainly has enjoyed a smoke every now and then. All right, let's go. One more. The Alliance of American Football. It's filling a little void in your life, isn't it?
It is. I'm going to learn the players. I'll be learning some of the players.
Right.
But the coaching lineup, it's delicious. I will watch that.
It's an all-star cast.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right, stay tuned for the Alliance of American Football. That's a good group. We shall see what comes out of it. Lastly, Kareem Hunt, does he deserve a second chance?
I you know, I'm going to have to take the fifth on this because I'm a woman. What do you think?
No, I think we're going to have to see. I mean, really, whether he's deserving of it is whether he proves worthy of it. He's going to get one.
Right.
I mean,
it's
this
how
is
you
the
respond
NFL.
To what's happened to you that
let's
matters.
See what
so
happens
let's see.
Now.
Jury's still out at the moment.
All right. Alex Gold is coming up next. He's the gold standard. Be sure to listen to him next on SB Nation Radio.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.